Sunday. Everybody's sleeping. We just want to say welcome to our live stream family. We are Pastor Tim and I said Pastor Tim. We are Pastor Tim and Pastor Noel. And we just got a few announcements before we get started with service. Firstly, we have Harvest Fest coming up so soon, and we need more candy. So you can bring in a bag outside in the foyer, in the front. You can just leave it right where all the pumpkins. It looks super full. It's very cute. And if you don't want to bring candy, you can also sew and just title it Harvest Fest, and I'll go toward candy for the kids.
Yeah. Amen. Awesome. We also have, see this little bag I'm carrying? I'm carrying it for a reason, all right? Look, everybody, turn to your neighbor and say, give a bag. No. Hold. Okay, you don't know how this works. Look, turn to them, say, give a bag, get a bag. Now turn to the other neighbor who's trying to stay out of it, say, give a bag, get a bag. Now, what does that mean? Good question. I'll tell you right now. Look, we're doing a clothing giveaway. We do it all the time. We're collecting winter clothes because how many of you know it's getting cold out there? I love it personally. When the weather gets chilly, I'm like, come on, Jesus. But look, we're collecting winter clothes. We're talking coats, hats, gloves, scarves, mittens, any winter paraphernalia, bring them all in, all right? Winter clothes, all that good stuff. Bring in a bag and we'll give you one of these bags, okay? All right, I said a word wrong, but that's okay. Bring in your winter accessories, your winter clothes. Good morning, Pastor. No, look, but you bring in a bag of your winter clothes, you donate it, we're going to give you one of these reusable, awesome His Tabernacle Family Church bags. Because we went to Walmart the other day, and they just put all the groceries just there in our cart. Or not the cart, we did the pickup order, and there's just like sauce in the back. I'm like, all right. So get one of these bags. Give a bag, get a bag. And then lastly, thanks for the pity laugh. Lastly, we have Awaken Monthly. That is two nights. It's going to be awesome. If you are a young adult, if you know a young adult, come on out. We're doing everything fall. Get all your fall Instagram pictures in, and then you're good for the rest of the month. But look, you're invited. We're having chili. It's going to be mad good. We want you guys to come. It's really going to be a really good time. So invite everybody you know, and we'll see you there. And if you would, stand with us and welcome our senior pastors, Pastor Michael and Rhonda Spencer.
Praise the Lord. We're glad you're here this morning. We've had a very adventurous morning already. This service is one of the most unique services when we stand up at 11 o'clock and we talk to everybody. It's like two-thirds empty. And then by the middle of worship, it's almost full. It's like weird. But we want to give you an update real quickly. Our pastor in Canada is in jail. They jailed him on last Friday, and they've given him 7 days in jail because of preaching the gospel. Isn't that amazing? He's done no other crime but literally sharing Jesus. And so he's in jail. This is his second, going into his third day. First service, my wife and I actually held service with them in Canada. So we were live streaming, and the city also padlocked the church. Isn't that crazy? So they not only put the pastor in jail, but they padlocked the church. They cannot go to church. And so they are now, literally this morning, we were preaching into the homes all over New Brunswick. Out of 63 churches, this is the only church that they've come against. Because it's the only church that didn't bow. So we thank God for Pastor Phil, who today is in jail, and Pastor Jamie and their three babies. We want to make sure that we support them, love on them, encourage them. So if you would like to, you can get on the Facebook. It's His Tabernacle Canada. And just send them an encouragement. I know that they'll be blessed. Amen?
Amen. Amen. Well, let's just open up the service in prayer, because guess what? We get to meet today. We have our freedom to still meet in church where our friends and family in Canada were unable to do that. So I hope this morning you praise a little louder and that you appreciate a little bit more that you get to be in the house of God on behalf of all of them too. So let's just open this service in prayer. Father, we love you. You are an awesome God. You are not shocked or surprised by anything. You are not worried or concerned about anything, because you have the answer for everything and everyone. Father, just send your power and your love today across every single person in this house watching on live stream. Father, just you because we know you change everything, God. We know that signs and wonders are released after the preaching of the word. So God, we're expecting a supernatural encounter with you today. So we love you, we lift you up, and we praise you in your precious, mighty name. Amen, amen.
Someone here is having pain in your gallbladder. It's taking your attention away from worship. In the name of Jesus, I command the gallbladder right now. I rebuke the stone. I command it to dissolve in Jesus' name. And Father, they'll have freedom of worship, and that God, they'll feel no pain. They'll be able to give you glory in the name of Jesus. Amen.
All ready to praise Jesus this morning. Hallelujah. The altar is open. Let's praise our way to victory this morning. Hallelujah.
Bless the Lord, O mighty ones. Bless the Lord, you heavenly hosts. Bless the Lord, all you his angels, and let all the earth be his dominion. Sing, bless the Lord, O mighty ones. Sing, bless the Lord, you heavenly hosts.
My dance is a weapon.
My dance is a weapon.
My dance is a weapon.
My
shout. shout of victory. Forevermore, no other name that can save, deliver, and restore. Oh, Jesus, the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. There is no other name that is greater than Jesus. Whoa, merciful, supernatural. Jesus is highly, mighty, worthy. Jesus is gracious, patient, generous. And there is no other name that is greater than Jesus. Jesus the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. No other name,
no other name
that can save, deliver, and restore. Oh, Jesus the same
yesterday, today, and forevermore.
There is no other name that is greater than Jesus. Come on, put those hands together. Jesus for Canada this morning. Nothing can stand against. Hallelujah.
There is a promise that points beyond my failure. There is a still voice to silence all.
I love you more than anything.
just confess it.
I need you, Jesus.
I can't make it without you.
Can't make it without you.
I love you, Jesus.
I love you, Jesus.
I love you, Jesus.
I love you, Jesus.
Lump under your right breast. God is the center. It's very sensitive to the touch. Sore more than pain. In the name of Jesus, I curse you right now. In Jesus' name, I command the lump to disintegrate. I command it to be extracted. I rebuke the life in the lump. I command it to come out in the name of Jesus. Father, wholeness and health in Jesus' name. No more sensitivity, no more lump. God, let it be proven even through the doctors. Is another individual you're having problems with the right shoulder? God is healing you now. Start moving it around. You'll feel the itis start to leave. It got startled by the Holy Ghost. In Jesus' name, I command the itis to go. In Jesus' name, God, health and wholeness to the shoulder. Father, I thank you that you love us so deeply and desperately. Lord, I just pray, Father, that we'll have a true revelation of your love. I know me, God. I know just myself. This is what I've been asking you for weeks. I want to know your love more. Jesus, I need to know your love more. God, I know that we are in our finite bodies. And in that, Father, we can only handle so much. But I pray you bring us to the very threshold of intensity of the love of God. That we will be overwhelmed with such genuine love from you that there are not even words that can explain it. We need you, Jesus. This world needs you. And the more we understand your love, the more we will share your love. So we ask that in Jesus' name. We ask that you will reveal to us that love that is wider, deeper, higher than even our minds can conceive, in the name of Jesus. God is healing someone. Carpal tunnel on the right hand, not on the outer portion of the wrist. You're being healed right now in Jesus' name. Lord, we love you. Thank you for your goodness in our lives. Thank you for your goodness in our lives. Just breathe in that fresh anointing right now. Just breathe in the fresh anointing of the Holy Spirit. We receive Jesus. We receive Jesus. We receive Jesus. We receive from you, Holy Spirit. Refresh our inner man. Your anointing is tangible, touchable, transferable. We thank you that you are filling this room. God. I rebuke the spirit of worry in the name of Jesus and fear. You have no place in our minds and our hearts. We arrest you in Jesus' name. And we incarcerate you away from our lives. We will have faith and not doubt. For you are a good God and greatly to be praised. Thank you, Jesus. You are sweet, God. You are sweet, God. Worthy.
He's moving. Don't let him pass you by. Talk to him this morning. Jesus, not only do we have needs, but God, more than that, we just want to say thank you for loving us. Thank you for saving us. Thank you for healing us. Thank you, Jesus, for delivering us from sin. Thank you, Jesus, from delivering us from all the demonic oppressions of this world. We are free and free indeed. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Sweet Holy Spirit. Sweet Holy Spirit. We love you. Jesus, we worship you. Love you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. Yes, Lord. We worship you, Lord. In the name of Jesus.
Just want to tell you, Lord, I love you more than anything.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Sweet Holy Spirit. God, we're in no rush. It's your church. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. God, we confess we need you. We are unabashed and unashamed to say our need for you. In these moments, you can just stay. Just stay. If you're uncomfortable, I understand. You can be seated if you're uncomfortable. But I challenge you, it's just that you don't understand yet. And all you got to do is ask the Holy Spirit to help you step in. When it's snowing out, you can stay out in the snow or out in the rain, or you can come inside where it's warm, where it's safe, where it's secure, where there's family, where there's presence. And the Lord is saying, come on out from the outside. I got something for you. You might not understand, but it just takes a step of faith. And when you step in, Jesus, fill me fresh with your Holy Ghost. Jesus, fill me fresh with your presence. Jesus, I want to know you more. Jesus, I need to love you more. God, I want to be where you are, Jesus. Thank you for your anointing. Thank you, God, for your goodness in our lives. Someone's being healed in their back. It's about 3 inches over from your spinal column, down halfway, a little bit low halfway. You're having problems every time I don't know if it's lungs or what does it, doesn't matter. In Jesus' name, I curse the cause. In Jesus' name, and I command the pain to leave, never to return again. In Jesus' name. Lord, I love you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Sweet Holy Spirit. Amen. Isn't Jesus good? You know, I like just at times just basking. I got to make a confession to you this week. We went down to spend time with the bishop, which, glory be to God, is Fort Lauderdale. And I'm not a beach guy. I might look beached, but I am not a beach guy. But in the morning, we were out on the balcony and the breeze was flowing and the sun hit. And I just went like this. These are the moments when we can just, for Jesus is the light, and in his light is love, and all that we need. We love you, Jesus. Warm our spirits that would be more like you. We need you, God, and we love you. Amen. Is that all right? Because I could stay here all day. Like, no, not even a joke. We could just keep having them sing that one little thing over and over and over again, and I'm in each time. Because there are just times you need God, man. You don't need another sermon. Sometimes you don't need another sermon. Sometimes you just need the presence of Jesus. And he shifts everything. It don't take God long to dial us in. If we're willing to get dialed. And that happens in his presence. The Bible says in his presence is fullness of joy. Some of you need joy unspeakable and full of glory. Amen. Amen. We just love you so much. My wife and I are so blessed to be your pastors. And as I said this morning, when we started the service, last service we were actually preaching in Canada. And someone said, did you fly to Canada? No, my private jet is down right now. Thank you. I know, use the other one, but that one cost too much to fuel. And the helicopters just doesn't make it. So, but we were able to, as Pastor Jamie led worship. Oh my goodness, the anointing was so strong. She had to do it from her house. Because the city officials are actually tracking them wherever they are. They've sent spies to the last 3 services. And isn't it amazing how blessed we are in America? Although we had spies in this church when COVID hit too, I do want to thank you all who are the spies that are still here that sent pictures to our governor for us. I pray you got my good side. Hallelujah. But I do want to remind you what happens in Canada and what happens in California usually makes it to New York. And right now, California and parts of California are shut down the same way they are in Canada. And if we come to the place where Pastor Phil just did, then, boy, it's amazing. If we come to that place, there's no greater place than to be persecuted for righteousness' sake. I'm not saying it's fun, but today, this man, and I want to pray for him, and I know we did earlier, but you got to remember, he's alone in a cell. Separate, yeah, and not alone with Jesus. I understand. But we need the presence of God to invade. Amen. So let's just pray. Holy Spirit, even as tangible as you are right here, right now, invade that cell where Phil Hutchings is in Jesus' name. Invade it so intensely, Holy Spirit, that the tangible anointing will slide underneath the door, and when a guard walks by, they go out in the Holy Ghost. I pray, Father, that the anointing will be so strong in the room that revelation, God, will be brought to him that, Father, so very few have. And thank you, Lord Jesus, for his tenacity. Thank you, Father, for his family. Thank you, God, for the family of God, our family in New Brunswick. Lord, bring revival in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Before you sit down, can you go welcome somebody? I want to remind you that not everybody is comfortable yet. Please be honorable. Ask somebody before you breach. If it's okay to shake their hand or give them a hug. But meet somebody you don't know. Don't be a snob this morning. Remember, we are the family of God. We need each other. Amen.
Can they hear us? Can they hear us through this? Hey, good morning. Good morning, His Tabernacle Family Church. I am Jennifer Lerner. I'm here to greet you and to welcome you. But the great news is I'm learning technology, and I don't quite see.
Did everybody meet somebody?
Online.
Come on now. Don't be a snob.
Go ahead and comment. Comment. Where are you plugging in from so we can see who is out there online getting blessed with this powerful word, praise and worship? Minister McKenzie, who are you?
Oh, well, I'm Minister McKenzie, and I lead and direct worship here. You just heard Sarah Carbone leading. She is a beast, so I'm sure you're crying in your seats right now. but welcome. We're so excited to have you online with us. Our pastor's up there right now just shouting praise to Jesus. So why don't you come and in and where you're listening from.
Okay, so we have Pastor Andrea.
Hi, Marcia. Hi, Pastor Andrea.
Jenny's on. Brenda.
Good morning, Brenda.
The Rankins.
Oh, the Rankins. Oh, yeah, the Rankins. We love you and your boy.
Yes.
We love you. We know the presence of Jesus is in that room right now if you guys are still in the hospital.
Absolutely. And then look at Terry.
Hey, Keegan fam.
Brenda Lewis is on.
Yep. Watching from Virginia. Ooh. And our pastor looks like he's ready. So we can go back up there with Pastor. Thanks so much, guys, for listening.
Okay.
I believe we got the 1,000 souls by Christmas. That means you got to fill your role. Amen. Praise the Lord. Welcome with me, Miss Carla Vishore, Minister Carla Vishore.
That's French.
Good morning. Thank you, Dustin. That was an overly exuberant cheer for me. I appreciate that. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
It is time for us to celebrate the tithes and offerings this morning. I'm happy that you're all here today. This has been an amazing month on the topic of being fortified in our faith. It's been really cool to hang out with a tank and hear the word and learn how we can be made more strong and secure in our faith and our relationship with God. And I want you to know that you can also be fortified in your finances. So this morning, I looked up the definition of the word fortified because I'm that kind of a nerd. And we've been hearing it all month. We're getting stronger and more secure, right, in our walk with God. But there's another meaning of the word fortified. It's similar, but goes a little deeper. And it says, improved or enhanced through the addition of one or more ingredients. And this really opened my mind because I started thinking about what can we add in our financial life that would help improve it or enhance it? Well, number one, the word says in Malachi chapter 3 that if we're not giving, that we're cursed with a curse. But it goes on to say that when we do give, that we're blessed with so much that we don't even have room to contain it. So how many would agree that moving from a curse to being blessed would be an improvement, right? So we can fortify ourselves in our finances from being transitioning to not giving to giving. That's a really simple move. And really all it is a decision. So if you're not giving today, or if you haven't given in the past, I challenge you to try this out because it is God's economy, and no, it doesn't make sense. If you feel like you don't have enough money, why on earth would you give it away? Well, try it. The Lord says, try me now in this. And if you're already in the hole, what do you have to lose? Give God a try in your finances. Now, it also says that being fortified means that we can be enhanced. So maybe you're already operating in God's economy. Maybe you tithe, but you haven't yet practiced with sowing and reaping. And so maybe you can add the ingredient of sowing into your financial life. And we have a really amazing opportunity for you to be able to do that today. How many of you know, or maybe you don't, that this is Pastor Appreciation Month? The whole month, National Pastor Appreciation Month. And last week we did have a celebration, but many of you were not here that last week. So you have an opportunity today as you bring your offerings forward to also sow into our amazing pastors. There is an extra basket in the center. So if you'll prepare that gift for our pastors, you can honor them today for pastor appreciation as well, or at any given time this month. You can give online at histabernacle.com. For those of you who are watching, you can also text to give. The number is 84321, and you just type in your dollar amount with a dollar sign and send it and follow the prompts. If that gift is to go to pastor, then you can do dollar sign amount and then pastor. And then you can also do Cash App. If you have Cash App, the cash tag for pastor is $Pastor Spencer in Cash App. Okay? So lots of different ways that you can give. If you'll all stand to your feet, have your blessings ready, have your sowing ready. I hope you made a decision to move from being cursed to being blessed in your finances today and get fortified in your finances. And if you'll repeat after me, we'll make our supernatural declaration. If I obey, I'm blessed going in. I'm blessed going out. I'm blessed in my storehouse. And I'm blessed in my basket. The blessings are going to chase me down. They're going to trip me up. Because I'm a child of God. I'm blessed. Go ahead and bring your tithes and offerings to the front.
Bless the Lord, you heavenly hosts. Bless the Lord.
Praise the Lord. My wife and I are genuinely thankful for all the honor that you have given us over the last few weeks. Thank you so much. Pastoring is so unique, and for us, it's a little bit more unique. We are pastoring, I think, 14 churches right now, where we oversee all the pastors and all the churches, and it's a lot of work, but it's so exciting, and watching how God is changing lives. So we want to say thank you for honoring us and blessing us. Amen. This morning, I told you, we were preaching in my office to Canada, and so Pastor Cody preached the first service, and I figured he's already in gear. We might as well let him finish the second service. Amen. So welcome with me, Pastor Cody Spencer.
I think he's just getting nervous of preaching. I don't know. Everybody doing good? Amen. Doing great?
Amen.
Amen. Who's enjoying Fortified so far? Awesome. Man, I've been so excited about this because we know things happen in this world. Things happen in this life, and I think the church should always rise to the top. I think that Christians should always come out in the will of God, which is on top. Amen. And I'm excited to get into this a little bit more today because, look, week one, we know the battles are coming. Last week, we talked about the shoes and the shield, what we can put on for victory. But today, I'm going to throw some shots. And if you're mad at me, you can talk to Pastor Spencer about it. His Facebook messages are always open. But I think really today, it's important to ask, what are you built in? And we'll make more sense of this in a minute, but what we know about vehicles, especially we're using a tank as an example, is the military builds tanks, they build Humvees, they use Jeeps, they use motorcycles. They use all of these different vehicles for different applications because they know different things are going to be required of them. And I don't want to just be people who think that we take a beating and we take shots. But no, we can withstand some beatdowns. We can withstand some shots, but we're people in Jesus who move forward in victory. Amen. That we're more, think about it like this, we're more than conquerors.
That's right.
That God works all things together for the good of those who love him. And as Christians, we're built different than other people. Amen. I know we start one way, but as believers, we're built different. And here's how we're built different. We're not built from the outside in. We're built from the inside out. And while the world fortifies themselves from the outside in, we are actually opposite in what we stand on.
Amen.
Think about it. Many people, they'll fortify themselves with their career. And then they'll fortify themselves with family. And then they'll fortify themselves with friends. And then they'll fortify themselves with finances. And they believe that if they place themselves at the center of all of these things, that everything will be okay. But we know that's not the truth. And as believers, we build ourselves from the inside out. That the most important thing we have, the most important piece that we are, is that we are in Christ.
That's right.
And the problem with trying to fortify ourselves from the outside in is that we now make these things like God. And was this not the same sin as the devil of I will be like God? And what we do is we build our lives, or people build their lives, with things that try to be like God. Well, man, money is a horrible God because it's fleeting and it can't bring you peace. Family is not a great God because they come and they go with disagreements and problems. Careers are a horrible God because there's no actual end cap. And what happens if you get fired tomorrow? You know, being popular, and I know we talk about this with teenagers, but being a bar star is not a great God, because what happens if you can't be out anymore?
That's right.
Like, really, what happens when we come to realize that making these things like God, actually puts us in a position to be damned and destroyed, because when bad things happen, when the storms come, when the battles arise, when things start to happen in our life, we realize that they can be like God, but they can't be God. And this can even be attitudes in our heart, and I think this is where most people lie. We're not the worst sinner in the world, but we got an attitude that we fortified ourselves. We have a belief about ourselves that is contrary to the Word of God, and we build upon those things. And when bad things happen, when things don't go the right direction, we then blame God, but we've made something else like God in our life. It's always been the promise. We can be like God, but it can never be God. And there's just such a difference, and I want to be a person that's not built on those things that are like God. I want to be built on God. And we can hear about the sword. We can hear about the shield. We can hear about the shoes. But we as believers have to make decisions that I'm not going to hear about it, I'm going to be about it. You know, it would be weird talking about the shoes last week from Ephesians chapter 6. It would be really weird if we ran up to our dad imagine if I run over, hey dad, tie my shoe.
Dream.
You know, that's weird. It's dad. Odd. I'm an adult. Tie your own shoe.
That's right.
And here's where we get, I don't even have... But here's where we get to this as believers. Ready? We get to a place where we have to make a decision on who we're going to be, what we are going to put on, and who we are going to be built and fortified in. It can't be the pastor that always ties our shoe and gets us ready. It can't be our grandma. It can't be our praying mama. It can't be our dad. It's got to be us. Are you fortified in Christ? And then the question is this, are you putting on the things of Christ on purpose by yourself? Are you putting yourself in Christ?
Come on.
And many people are fortified by culture. They're fortified by their experiences, their feelings, their money, their job, their career, their attitudes. But God has called us to be fortified on these following three things. Number one, we're called to be fortified on the Word of God. Jesus, at the end of the Sermon on the Mount, and I would encourage you to go back and read through the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 5 through Matthew chapter 7. And Jesus, near the end of the Sermon on the Mount, he gives this word image. And this is amazing because he says this. He says, everyone, starting in verse 24, everyone who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on a rock. And the rain fell, the floods came, the wind blew and beat on that house, but it did not fall because it had been founded on the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain fell, the floods came, the winds blew and beat against the house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. You know what we realize in Matthew chapter 7? You know what Jesus is telling us? He's telling us that things are going to happen.
Right.
In both instances of the house, the rain fell, the floods came, the wind came. And it was not that one didn't have it and one did have it. They both had issues.
Right.
Again, as believers, it is scriptural to be tested. It is unscriptural to be defeated.
Right.
And we realize in what Jesus is teaching that we have a decision to make. One falls, one stands, and we decide who we are. We decide, am I going to fall or am I going to stand based upon what we build our life on?
Amen.
The sand promises everything. It's easier to build on. It's simpler. But when things come beating against it, not if, but when things come beating against it, that house will always fall. And it's not God's fault that it fell, because the Bible tells us that this is the foolish man. Because the foolish man hears but doesn't build in the right place. You know what you're not? You're not a foolish person. You're not going to hear the Word of God and build on the world.
That's right.
You're not going to hear the word of God and build on the sand. You're not going to hear the word of God and build on your money, build on your boyfriend, build on your household. You're going to build on the word of God. And let's be real, those things aren't bad. You know, money's not bad. Boyfriend, girlfriend, not bad. Husband, wife, great. Career, great. But that's not what we build on. That's not our foundation. And Jesus told us the flip of this. He said, but if you are hearers of the word and you apply and do this, then you're built on the rock. And when the flood comes, when the rain comes, when the wind comes, you will not be destroyed, but you will stand strong. And Jesus said this about his word. Not our feelings, not our emotions, not our experiences, not our offenses, but built on the word.
Right.
And when we're built on the word, I don't care what's happening, what's bombarding us, what's going on around us. It might be real and it probably will still hurt, but you don't have to be destroyed because you're built on the word of God. Doesn't matter what comes against us when we're built on the word. Here's why. The word is like milk, according to Hebrews chapter 5, verse 12 through 14. So if you're not strong, the word will help you get strong. Drink your milk. It gives you strong bones. The word is like solid food for those who are mature. According to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 1 and 2, what does this mean? It means that if we are strong, how do you get stronger? Eat your meat. Keep eating, keep maturing, keep growing. We've never reached the pinnacle of our walk with Jesus. There's always more.
Amen.
The word is like a sword, according to Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. It'll expose what's good and what's bad and help remove what's bad. The word, according to Jeremiah 23, 29, is like a hammer and fire to burn up what doesn't belong and to remodel what's messed up. Why do we need the word? So we can get rid of what's wrong and we can get remodeled where we're messed up. The word is like a mirror, according to James chapter 1, verse 23 through 25. Why? To self-reflect and measure against what is true and holy and good and right. The word is like a lamp and a light to expose our direction and our steps. According to Psalm 119, verse 105. And think about how crazy this is. Jesus is the good shepherd, right? Which would make us like sheep if we're followers of Jesus, which is not a bad thing. I got a good shepherd. What's interesting about sheep is they have terrible depth perception. Sheep have great peripheral vision. They can see even a little bit behind them, but they have terrible sight for the future. You know what's crazy about us? We're real good at looking back at, oh, I would have done this, and I should have said this, and this was my missed opportunity, and this, and this, and this, and this, and we're really good at knowing what's happening right now, but can I ask you what's going to happen in an hour?
Come on now.
Why do we need to be fortified in the word? Because you don't know what's going to happen when you drive out of here.
Right.
You don't know what's going to happen in December. You don't know what January looks
That's
like.
Right.
You don't know what 2023 looks like. You don't know what 2030 looks like if we get there. And that's why we need to be built on the word. Why? Because the word is a lamp into our feet and a light into our path, which means although I can't see right in front of me, if I'm in the word, if I'm fortified on the word, if I'm built on the word, no matter my next step, I'm in the word. And if I'm in the word, then I'm fortified in Christ. And it doesn't matter what's going on around me. It might affect me, but it won't destroy me. It won't defeat me. It won't bear me down. I'll still stand strong because I'm walking in the light, not in the darkness. Why are we built on the word? Because it's like water to make us clean, according to Ephesians chapter 5, verse 26. Why are we built on the word? Because it's like an anchor, according to Hebrews 6, 18 and 19, to keep us safe and secure no matter what's happening around us. Amen with the ringtone. But here's the deal. When we're built on the right thing, we get the right results. When we're fortified in the word of God, then we get the results of God. And this is where the difference is there's so much of our experiences that we try to fit into the kingdom. There's so much of our knowledge that we try to fit into the kingdom. There's so much of what we've been taught that we try to fit into the kingdom. And then we wonder why we don't get the results of the kingdom.
Right.
We wonder why we're not fortified in the kingdom. Because
right.
We're trying to mix two things in once. And that's not how it works.
Right.
We're here to be built on the word. Not our offenses, not our experiences, but on the convictions of the Holy Spirit based upon the word of God. And we're not here to just hear words. You're here to just hear words. You're doing it wrong. You're here to hear and apply the word of God. You know, you can come to Rock Solid Faith the rest of your life. If you don't apply what you learn, nothing is going to change except your Tuesday night. It looks different. You could read your Bible every single day. If you don't apply the words of the Bible, you'll have another understanding, but you won't have another outcome.
Amen.
We're not just hearers of the word, we're doers. And that's what Matthew chapter 7 was saying. So when our house is built on the rock, when we hear and apply the teachings of Jesus and the scriptures. And we need to be people that aren't built and fortified based upon whatever's happening in politics, based upon what's happening in our nation, based upon what's happening in our communities, but built and shaped on what's happening in the Word of God. That's the difference. How do we remain fortified? We are built on what never changes, what has never been defeated, what has never gone wrong, and that is the pure, holy Word of God. We're built on the word. Number two, we're built on his nature. If we go back to week one, we talked about 1 Samuel chapter 17, David and Goliath. Goliath is shouting against Saul's army, and they all go running and hiding. David shows up. Who's this uncircumcised Philistine? Who's talking junk to God's armies? I'll kill him. Goes out, does the job, gets it done. But we go all the way back there. Do you know what's crazy about 1 Samuel chapter 17? Prior to this, reading through the Old Testament, what you generally find when people run into a problem is they look back on God's past victories for future faith. And this is interesting. Read through Numbers. Read through Deuteronomy. Read through Exodus. Read through the Old Testament scripture. And what you find is they'll run into a problem, and then they'll look back and be like, but my God brought us out of Egypt. My God brought us through a Red Sea. My God brought us through the desert with cloud by day and fire by night. My God provided food every day in the desert. My God, this one's trippy to me every single day. My God followed us through the desert with a rock. There was a rolling stone that followed them and provided water every single day. That's still so trippy to me. And they'd start saying these things. And my God gave us clothes that never wore out. And my God provided shoes that grew with their feet and never had holes. And my God brought the walls of Jericho down. They would always go back to past victories. But you know what they did here? They didn't. They just went to their current fear. They just went to the current thing yelling at them. And this is the difference of how to be fortified and not fortified. Is when we are in his nature, we recognize that he's not going down. Why would I be scared if I realize who my God is?
Right.
You know, they were running in the face of Goliath because they didn't even look back at what God had already done to bring them there. You think God did all of that just so they could be put back in slavery?
Right.
You think God did all of that in your life just so you could go back into bondage? Just so you could have another defeat? Just so you could be destroyed? Just so his kid could be let down? I don't think so. We need to look back at what God brought us out of. Man, his nature, you want to know what his nature is? Real quick, we could go through literally an entire 3-month series on the nature of God, but quick, three things that I thought were really powerful in this context. Number one, his nature is redemptive. You know, he puts back what's broken. God is redemptive. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 30 says this, but of him you are in Christ, who became for us wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification, ready, and redemption. And this word redemption is really interesting. I'm not a Greek scholar, but I did a little bit of research. And it's two words put together. The first word is apo. The second word is leo, L-Y-O. A-P-O, L-Y-O. A-P-O, apo means separation. Leo means to melt away. You know what this word redemption put together is? Melting away separation.
Whoa, that's good.
You know what redemption is? Melting away separation from Christ. Where you were broken and separate from Christ, God wants to melt it away and make you one yet again. 1 Corinthians 6:11, you want to talk about the redemption of God? And such were some of you, this is talking about sinners, and such were some of you, but you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of our Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. The word were washed is another redemption, apoluo, which separation, apoluo means washed away. Guess what? The separation was washed away. You were washed. It was, the separation is gone. Titus 2:14, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself his own special people, zealous for good works. God's redemptive. You know, if you're looking at it right now, so I can't be fortified. I'm all messed up. I could never get back to God. No, he's a God of redemption at nature. His nature is putting broken things back together. You know what he loves to do? Put broken things back together. Amen. You know who he loves to restore? Broken people. You know what he's here for? Broken people. You want to know what Jesus said in Mark chapter 1? I didn't come for the righteous, but I came for the broken. Jesus came to put broken people back together, broken situations back together. He came to redeem. Part of his nature is redemption. Just go back to the book of Exodus. Redemption. Number two, his nature is protective. He sticks up for his kids. 2 Corinthians 6:17, it says this. It says, therefore, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Don't touch what's unclean, and I will receive you ready, and I will be a father to you. And you shall be my sons and my daughters. I said it, I think, in week one, but if you touch my kids, we're going to have problems. I know I'm a pastor, but we're going to have problems. First, Mindy's going to punch you, and then I'll have to handle the lawsuit. But we're going to have problems. But I think any parent would say the same thing. I'm protective over my children. Why? Because my job to protect my child. You think God's not going to protect you? I'm sorry. I thought we were talking about his nature. Where do we find someone's nature? Look at the past. What did he do for his other kids that were in trouble? I don't know. Just kind of drop walls of Jericho. I don't know. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in Daniel chapter 3. They refuse to bow their knee. They get thrown into a fiery furnace 7 times hotter. Kind of a big deal. The people that threw them in died. They're standing there. The king's guys are like, hey, king, how many did we throw in? Like, he can't count past 3. He's like, we threw in 3, duh. He's like, well, why is there a 4th man in there? Because his nature is protecting. He's protective over his children. They come out. Ropes are all burnt up. They're not burnt. There's no smoke. There's no fire. They're good. Why? Because his nature is protective. Look at Daniel chapter 6. Daniel prays. It's against the law. He gets thrown into a lion's den. King comes out the next morning. Daniel! Hey, king! My God shut the mouth of the lions. His nature is protective. And when we look at the nature of God, we can look back on who he is towards us as well, because we're his children. When we're separate from the world and we're in Christ, we are his children, and he's protective of his children. And the third thing I want to let you know is his nature is victorious. We serve a victorious God. You know, why are you undefeated? Not because of who you are, but because of who your God is. I'm undefeated because I serve an undefeated king. I'm not going down because my God's not going down. I can't be destroyed because my God can't be destroyed. Revelation 1:18 says it like this, and the living one, and I was dead. This is Jesus talking. And behold, I am alive forevermore, and I have the keys of death and Hades. I have the keys of death and the grave. This is the difference. We serve a victorious God. His nature is not one of defeat, but of victory. Romans 16:20, in the God of peace, will soon crush Satan under your feet. That sounds like victory to me. It doesn't sound like, I hate that Carmen video where Jesus and the devil are going for like 12 rounds in a boxing match and Jesus gets punched a couple times and then Jesus pops up with a KO shot at the end. I just don't like it because I don't like, that's not the God I serve. It's not like this wrestling match in heaven and who's going to win. If you saw the stupid meme, that's not it at all. You know, God's going to destroy the devil with his tongue. That's not a wrestling match if you can speak him dead. God will crush Satan under your feet. 1 Corinthians 15:57. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Matthew 16:19. If you want some more, I'm here for it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth shall have been bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth shall have been loosed in heaven. You serve a God of victory. You serve a God of authority. You serve a God who's protective. You serve a God who's redemptive in his nature. And here's the reality. We are fortified by the nature of God. Not only his word, but his nature. It's who he is. Not only what he says, but who he is. He is who he says he is. He does what he says he will do. He's not a man that he should lie. He says and he does on behalf of his children. And here's the difference. How are we fortified in what he says and what he does? And here's what we got to figure out. What are you fortified in? Not by, but in. Some people think they're fortified by their money, their boyfriend, their girlfriend, their attitudes, their attitudes. You're not fortified by those things because they stand for nothing when it comes to the battle. That's the sand that gets washed away. But when we're in Christ, that changes everything. That changes everything. And here's what I think we've mixed up as the church. Being in Christ is not being in church. Being in Christ doesn't mean that, oh, I'm in a small group. Being in Christ doesn't mean I'm in Rock Solid Faith. Those are all great things. They're all very helpful. Showing up to church is what Christians do. But being in Christ doesn't mean I'm just in proximity to Christ. Right. No, it'd be like, oh yeah, I'm on the winning team. It's so funny to me when people win Super Bowls or championships because like, oh, we won. I'm like, oh dang, I didn't see you on the field. I didn't even see you on the practice squad. Like, no, I got the jersey, though. I'm happy that you're a fan of, but you're not in. Whoa. You know, and I celebrate it, too. I think it's fun. It's cool, but you're not a part of the team. You just fund the owner. I want to be real about it. All right, I'm getting off on a... But this is the difference. I think we bought the lie that being in proximity to Christ means that we're in Christ. You know, you can come to church the rest of your life and not be in Christ. You can go to a small group till you die, but that doesn't mean you're in Christ. Just because you're around it doesn't mean you're it. You know, we used to do a skit, and it's the dumbest skit in the world, but it exaggerates the point. You have a bunch of kids, or normally use teenagers or kids. Pastor Rhonda wants to show you guys. She's going to take her heels off. She's going to show you chickens, trains, planes.
Oh, I love that one.
But it's such a good visual example. You got a bunch of kids running around, like, making chicken noises, and they're going crazy. And then the farmer comes out, what are you guys doing? Oh, we're chickens.
Chicken.
No, you're not chickens just because you squawk, just because you scratch, just because you peck at the ground does not make you a chicken.
Right.
Just because you live in a chicken coop does not make you a chicken. It's about your nature.
Right.
It's about what you're in. And then they come back out, and they're like fighter planes, and they're looking all stupid. And it's like, what are you doing now? What are you doing? Just no. Hard no. That's not it. You know, I think this is the issue, though, is the church has bought, well, I'm a Christian because I'm in the church. No, you're a Christian because you're in Christ.
Amen.
And then we get mad because, well, I go to church, but bad things happen, and I don't think I have victory. Well, it's because you were just close to Christ, but you weren't in Christ. we're to look at it visually. If there's an attack coming against this tank and I'm standing next to the tank, I'm not safe. I'm just near what's safe. I'm around the safety. Then we get mad at God, like, God, why didn't you save me? Why is it terrible? Bro, you just, I don't know who's going to tell him it's because you were around it, you weren't in it. Where on the opposite is, and we made it, so we might as well use it. I stole Pastor's thunder. I know he was so excited to do it. The opposite is when you're in Christ, in relationship with Christ, not just in relationship with his church or around his church or church people, but you are his people. You are the church. You are in Christ in daily personal relationship. Then when the battle comes, let me ask you, who's going to destroy the Christ that you're in? How are you going to be destroyed if you're hidden in Christ? Who's going to beat up the God that you're in? Who's going to destroy what God has built? And I take refuge in Christ, not near Christ. But if we're going to do it visually, this is how many people have built their life. Some people have built their life near Christ. And then some people have built their life, and this is sketchy as heck. Some people have built their life on the sand. You know, some people have built their life on their salary. Some people have built their fortification on who they're currently with. Some people have built their fortification on the websites they visit. Some people have built their fortification on their popularity in the community. Some people have built their fortification on their influence. Some people have built their fortification on the fact that nobody knows them. Therefore, who could hurt them? But the problem with this is that when we build on things that aren't fortifying us, we actually just make ourselves a bigger target. Right. We're standing in a battlefield like, hey, look at me. I got all this safety. It's just propping me up. And we know what Matthew chapter 7 said. When the rain comes, the floods come, the winds come, guess what happens? You get knocked down. Don't try to knock me down. I told First Service, I got a mean people's elbow. You don't want it. But this is where a lot of people build their life, man. We build our life on things that we think will fortify us. And then when the battle comes, we get washed away, blown away, destroyed. And then we get mad at God because we were near God, but we weren't in God. We were near God, but we weren't built on God. We were built on other things. My question is really simple. What are you fortified by today? And here's the question that would really help you figure it out. If everything in your life was gone but Christ, are you good? Are you still satisfied? Or do you still feel safe? Do you still feel peace? If everything else was gone, is God enough for you? It's an easy question. Not really. Some verses to back this up. But first, let me say, don't confuse proximity with safety. Psalm 18, verse 2 and 3 says, "This is the Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised, so I shall be saved from my enemies." You know, this language of being in Christ, it's a powerful thought. When you clarify the difference of being around Christ and being in Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, a lot of people will say, therefore, the old is gone and the new is here. Talking about salvation. But that's not what 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 says. It says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. That's right. Not around Christ, not near Christians, but in Christ. They're a new creation. Colossians 2:10 says it like this. You are complete in him. Colossians 3:3 says this, for you died and your life is hidden with him. It's a big difference of in him and with him than near him and around him. And as believers, when we step into Christ and we are with Christ, then everything shapes and transforms to being built on the rock, not built on the sand. Old Testament examples, Psalm 18, verse 30, says, as for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is proven, and he is a shield to all who trust in him. Psalm 25, 1 and 2. To you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. O my God, I trust in you. Psalm 2, verse 12. Blessed are those who put their trust in him. And look, this is the difference. When we are fortified by the word, by his nature, and who we are in him, it doesn't matter what's happening around us. You know, the situation will probably suck. It might not be fun. It might not, it probably will hurt, but it doesn't mean you'll be destroyed. It means that if we remain in Christ, you know what's going to happen? We're going to come out victorious no matter what happens around us. While others might not make it, you will. While others trust in other things, other ideologies, their finances, all these other things, they'll get swept away, but you'll stand. We're fortified on things that do not move and shift. The word of God and his nature. And here's the difference between what we're built on and what others are built on. Man, what they're built on will promise everything and cost nothing. Promise everything and cost nothing. And God says, this will cost you everything and I'll give you everything. Whoa. We got to know what price we're willing to pay. That's right. 'Cause I found if it's cheap, it's for a good reason. Because it's probably cheap. And in the end, those idols, those things that we try to fortify our lives with, they cost you everything and you end up with nothing. Because we've been built on the sand that will wash away. You know, if we were to look at like a biblical image of this, a quick snapshot, we could look back at 1 Samuel chapter 17. Looking at Saul's army, we see that they seemingly had forgotten about the God that they served. Because they never brought up what God had done. And they only had fear for the future. Because they believed that they were just Saul's army, not God's army. And Saul's army only looked good, but it had nothing to stand with. And the flip side of this is David. He knew God. We find, you know who wrote those psalms about in him? David. David knew he was in God. Not only did David know he was in God, but he looked back at the nature of God. For future faith. He said, oh, no. I killed a lion and a bear with my bare hands. Who's this guy? He wasn't scared because he was in God and he knew the nature of God in the past victories. David defeated Goliath because he was built from the inside out. Saul's army ran and hid because seemingly they were built from the outside in. As believers in Jesus, you know what we're not? We're not built by outside things. We're built by the word of God, the nature of God, and the fact that we're in God. We are fortified in God. I don't know what's trying to come against you today, but I know if you remain in Christ, not only are you going to withstand, but you're going to see victory. Not only are you going to have things come at you, but you're going to see victory at the things that come at you. You will come out on the other side when you remain in Christ because of his word and his nature. That's the difference. And I think we set a low bar on things. Man, the bar is not come to church. The bar is be in Christ. Be in genuine daily relationship with Jesus. Don't be fooled. Just because you're in church doesn't mean you're in Christ. Just because you're around the things of God doesn't mean you are in the things of God. It's a personal thing. I said it already. Your grandma, your mom, your dad, your pastor cannot do it for you. We do it. You do it for yourself. I can't fortify you. I can tell you how to do it, but you got to make the decision to be in Christ. And it's a daily thing. I said it a couple weeks ago. You want to know how to be like actually in the Word and see a difference? Twice a week, they did a massive study. There was no visible change. Reading the Word three times a week, no visible change. Reading the Word of God at least four times a week and applying it to your life, there was a visible difference and change in people's life. I think the question, well, how do I be in Christ? It's really easy. I gave first service 5 points. Number one, read your Word and do your Word. Don't do what you feel. Do what the Word says. Well, that's brainwashing. What do you think they do all K through 12 and college? Same thing. I'd rather my mind reflect the Word of God than anything else. Read your Word and apply. Two, pray. Well, I don't know how to pray. It's easy. Just talk. I don't know how to talk. Write it down. I'm not sure. Just take 5 minutes and say stuff out of your heart to God. Easy, really easy. That's what prayer is. Three, fast. I promise you won't die. I'm a living testimony. I've done it. I would challenge you to fast once a week. You're going to feel like you're going to die, but you're not. I swear. Drink some water. My mom always used to tell me when I said I was hungry, you're just thirsty.
That is the truth. She said that.
I was like, bro, no, I'm actually hungry, but I will still drink some water. Man, worship on your own. Worship. And then here's the one that I think is the hardest. Radically obey God, no matter what he tells you to do. That's the big one. Radically obey God, no matter what he tells you to do. So I know a lot of people, they read, they pray, they worship, they fast, but they don't do the things that are hard. Obeying God. Because didn't he say, obedience is greater than sacrifice? I'll sacrifice my 45 minutes in the morning, but will you obey the hard things? How are you in Christ? Do those five things. Stick on those five things. Don't look back. Don't look to the side. Keep running forward. And you'll be fortified beyond belief. But I think we've just set the bar low. You know? Oh, just raise your hand and you're good. No, that's the starting line, guys. That's not the finish line. That's the starting line to a brand new relationship, a brand new life. Jesus said it like this, therefore, if anyone desires to come after me, they must first deny themselves, take up the cross, and follow me daily. For whoever desires to gain their life must lose their life, because if you desire to gain your life, you will lose it. For what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his soul? And this is the reality. When we live our life trying to gain our life by fortifying ourselves with everything else, we in reality lose our life and lose our soul. But when we make the decision that I'm going to surrender my life to Christ, I'm going to literally surrender my life, all of it, every bit of it, I gain it. Because God's entry point is everything, but he promises everything. The things that cost something actually end up way more valuable in the end. If you can bow your head with me for a minute, I think the question is simple as, if anyone desires to come after Christ, they must first deny themselves, take up the cross, and follow him daily. And this is the entry point to the gospel. This is the entry point to the kingdom of God. Saying, God, I tried it on my own and I couldn't get it. Therefore, I'm not going to live for me, I'm going to live for you. And I'm going to do it every single day. This is the entry point. God, I want you, not what I've always done. Because the results of what I've always done haven't gotten me very far. But I know you promised to get me far. There's one way to heaven. His name is Jesus. Not being in church. It's not another religion. It's not being a good person. There's one way to heaven. His name is Jesus. That's it. I wouldn't say that to scare you. Here's what I want to say it for. Because Jesus has great, genuine relationship for you. And not only does he have heaven for you in eternity, but he has heaven inside of you here on earth. And today, if you feel that tug in your heart, maybe it's for the first time, maybe you've been living a life of hell and you're ready to get right with God. At once you were in great relationship, now you don't even know what's going on. Say, I need to get right with God. This is your moment. Will you wave your hand at me saying, I need to get right with God right now? I'm not going to beg you. Amen, amen, amen. I see your hands. I see your hands. Amen, amen. 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 Can we all stand to our feet real quick? Here's what I want to do. I want to do it a little bit different. If you do need prayer for anything, there'll be prayer team at the front. But I was reading in Ephesians chapter 3 and 14 through 16. Essentially what Paul is saying is that if you need to be strengthened, God wants to strengthen you by His Holy Spirit in your inner man. And man, you know what I think we need as Christians? We need more strength. Some people have been beat down, you need more strength. Some people, you're strong as you've ever been. Guess what you need? More strength. God has more. He's always got more. He always has more for you. I want to be the strongest that I can be, which means I'm going to keep asking for more. And I just want to pray that if you feel a little weak in the room, you feel like you need a shot in your spirit, man. You need strength in your spirit, man. Just wave your hand at me and say, I just need some more strength. Amen, amen, amen. There's nothing wrong with that. And now if you're saying, hey, I want more strength. I'm strong, but I want more. Wave your hand at me. Here's what I want to do. Put your hand just right on your belly. And I want to pray together for more strength. Just start to ask Him right now in your own words for more strength. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray right now that You would strengthen the saints by Your Holy Spirit in our inner man. That, Lord, whatever we're looking at, whatever we're fighting with, Lord, whether we're weak or whether we're strong today, I pray an increase of strength in our spirit, man. That we would walk out of here, not just encouraged by words, but we would be strengthened in our spirit. That, Father, You don't have weak kids, You have strong kids. So I pray in the name of Jesus, a strengthening, even right now, by the Holy Spirit. In Your name, amen. Here's what I want to do before you leave. Pastor's going to say some stuff. But if you raise your hand, will you just make your way right up here to Mindy over on this side? We're going to put our hands together for you. This is the greatest decision. We want to give you a Bible. We want to pray with you. We want to celebrate with you. If you raise your hand for salvation, just make your way right here. No shame, no weirdness. We want to pray with you. This is the greatest decision you could ever make. And it's a starting point. We want to help you start right. We want to help you start right. Amen? You guys can go over there. We put your hands together for Pastor Spencer.
Hallelujah. If you're online, you can dial 97000. You can type in the line, I am saved. We'll make sure we reach out to you right online as you are watching online. I want to encourage you this coming Tuesday night, Rock Solid Faith. We are continuing with the end times. You don't want to miss it. It's going to be very important. You want to be here. Some of you have never joined Rock Solid Faith. You need to start coming to Rock Solid Faith every Tuesday night. It is going to be a life changer, so you want to be here. Tuesday night, 7 o'clock. We'll see you in just a little bit. Father, I release Your anointing. I declare that there is not one that will be lost, not one that will walk away from You in Jesus' name. But we'll all serve You to the very end of our lives. And God will not just cross the line. We're going to finish strong. I declare there is no sickness. There is no disease. There is no maiming. There is no wounding. There are no growths. There are no spirits of infirmity. And there are and is no pain that is so overwhelming. God, I declare health and healing to the body of Christ. And I declare that we will prosper in all things and be in good health, even as our soul prospers. Lord Jesus, I thank You that we're going to be so blessed the world will look at us and say, where and how? God, we can point them to You. We love You. We thank You for the opportunity. Lead us to at least one soul to lead to You this week. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, we love You. Serve God with all of your heart. Make sure you come up front if you raise your hand. We want to minister to you.